From the creators of the hit kids podcast, Who Smarted? And Netflix Brainchild comes the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories, affectionately known as math. Every episode follows Max and Molly, who have just been recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time, packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs, making learning cool. Perfect for ages 6 and up. New episodes drop every Thursday, each stacked with so much laughter that your kiddos won't even realize how much they're learning. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast, where we have open and honest conversations about co-parenting, separation, divorce, and the hardest question of all, should you stay or should you go? I'm Kate Anthony, your divorce survival guide, and I'm here to help you navigate some of the roughest waters you've ever swum in and answer some of your toughest questions. I've been to hell and back, and now it's my mission in life to help you get to the other side of this process with your sanity and your heart intact.
Hey everyone, welcome back. In case you missed it last week, I have a new program launching. I am so excited about this, you guys. It's called the Divorce Survival Program. It is basically one-stop shopping for all your divorce needs. So if you are getting divorced, if you're starting the divorce process, you know, even if you are considering it, but you're kind of divorce curious, like, what does it all mean? How does it all work? This is the program for you. It is, like I said, one-stop shopping, which means that I have so much information packed into this program. I have interviews with all of the top divorce professionals that you know and love, including Susan Guthrie, Christina McGee, talking to your kids, Sean Lehman, talking about your money, Rhonda Nordyke, talking about women's financial wellness, Eric Broder, our favorite legal expert, talking about understanding the legal process, and on and on and on it goes. And then, I mean, I don't even know at this point, 25, 30 videos and modules of me sharing my insight and information. So here's the deal. This program will be available to those who are on the waiting list only on October 1st. And people who are on the waiting list, now that's, if you're listening to this on the date of release, that's tomorrow. So get on this. If you're listening to this later, then don't even worry about it. It's still available to you. But if you're able to get on the waiting list, you will get a special price, special discount, $100 off. You know, as always, I really try to keep my programs low price and accessible. So this program is, look, I'm not going to be like make up some magic number about like what it's actually worth. It's worth thousands, but it is priced at $497, which for the amount of information and education about divorce is an insanely low price. And if you're on the waiting list, you get $100 off that plus a couple of extra special bonus gifts. So in the show notes is the link to get on the waiting list. So you want to do that. It's also the first link in my Instagram bio. So if you follow me on Instagram, head over to my bio. My Instagram is at the Divorce Survival Guide. If you're not following me on Instagram, what? Head on over there wherever you can. Click on that link. Get on the waiting list so that you get first dibs and special pricing for the Divorce Survival Program. Now, on to today's episode. Today, I have with me Kendra Allen. You know her on Instagram as Your Breakup Bestie. And if you don't, you need to follow her. She's a coach, a confidant, a best friend, and a support for women everywhere going through heartbreak. After going through a series of unhealthy relationships and tough breakups in her 20s, Kendra dedicated herself to figuring out what it takes to go through a breakup with dignity, grace, and growth. And now it's Kendra's mission in life to help women like you see breakups or divorces, hello, not as an end, but as a beautiful opportunity to get to know yourself, love yourself, and rediscover what you want and deserve in a relationship. I love Kendra. She's one of those people that I've been following on Instagram for a long time. And I was like, oh, I love the way she does it. I love the way she does her Instagram posts because she has all these captions. They're really digestible, really interesting. And then we connected and we just got along like a house on fire. So as is always the case, or usually the case. So without further ado, here is my conversation with your breakup bestie, Kendra Allen. Kendra, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about and being our like collective breakup bestie.
Yes. Well, thank you, Kate, for having me on. I'm so excited to chat.
Yeah, me too. So, all right, breakups. I love, you know, I think we should just first talk about your Instagram, which is when I met you. I started following you. That's when I fell in love with you, was watching your Instagram. Because you just always have the best advice and insight, right? And there are things that feel, I don't want to say obvious to some, but also like the traps that women fall into all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you say that because that's the thing. Like, I don't necessarily feel like anything I ever post is, I'm not here to like blow anyone's mind.
And yeah,
I'm not here to like reinvent the wheel. I'm literally just here to like be that best friend who's like telling you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear, and being that like reinforcement, accountability, just a new way of looking at things, maybe.
Yeah, right. Really refreshing, to be honest, right? So you started this because you had gone through. What? Tell us a little bit about your background and your story and how you got into the breakup space.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I'd always been in the coaching space. I was a fitness coach, personal trainer when I was 18, I got that. Did that through my early 20s. Then I moved into recovery coaching in my mid 20s. So it's like, I think I've just always been on this earth to coach other people. And, you know, kind of throughout my journey, I've just had really rough relationships, I will say. When I was 18, I fell in love with a man who ended up being a narcissist and was in like this really abusive relationship for 3 years. Had no idea what a narcissist was until maybe a few years, you know, 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, right. And you're like, oh, right.
I'm like, oh, okay. You just described my whole relationship and I've never talked to you before. So I was in that. And then I struggled with drugs and alcohol for all through my teens, early 20s. Luckily, I got sober when I was 21. And I remember having this thought of like, oh, now that I'm sober, I'll be a great person. Like I'll be great in relationships, you know, just taking that away. Totally right. Not true at all.
Well, there's like all of these underlying conditions that go into that, first of all, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the relationship aspect of all of it. So yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I was in the beginning of sobriety, I was the person that like moved in with people right away. You know, I was just like so fast moving, went for people that weren't available. Mm-hmm. Pretty clearly like unavailable. So I feel like I just went through these like string and I went through so many breakups. And then it got to a place where in my mid 20s, I finally found like a healthy relationship. And then after a year and a half, he broke up with me. He broke up with me because he was never quite sure on marriage and the relationship was getting to a place where like marriage was probably starting to become inferred.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't think I can be the one that gives you gives you a ring. And it was a completely crushing blow for me. It was the first, I would say like first serious relationship that I had sober. I just didn't have the normal things. And I was working on myself in other ways. So it was like, I don't have drugs or alcohol to turn to. I was like, I know I can't go sleep it away with someone else. Like I just started realizing like there's all these things that I would normally turn to that I can't.
Right.
So that's when I really just made this decision that I was going to figure out how to do this in a new way for me, not like revolutionary, just a new way for me where I was going to go to therapy and like talk to other people and sit with the pain and not just try to like jump out of it. So I remember even like if I knew anyone that had gone through a breakup recently or had gone through a divorce, I called them and I was like, can you please get coffee with me? I just want to talk. And I just became a sponge. If someone said, oh, this book helped, it was like on my phone, instantly ordering from Amazon. I just became a sponge. I did anything anyone suggested. And I'm still that way. I'm like such a sponge. I'm like, I'll try anything one time.
Right.
So I started piecing this together and I started feeling better. And I started finally, like I healed. I tell people, I think I healed 5 breakups in that one. I finally went through like these patterns that I have. Why do I have these patterns? I have these beliefs. Like it just took it layer by layer down to the root for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think because I was really vocal about my breakup and just the healing process, people just started noticing that I was doing better. And so I kind of just became that like friend that everyone came to get breakup advice. And then I started looking online at the, and I'm sure you've come across many of these. I started looking online of like what's available to people going through breakups. And all I saw was like how to get over your ex in 28 days, how to get your ex back, just like all this really gimmicky kind of stuff. And so I'd always been, like I said, in the coaching space, the writing space. I just started writing. Like I wrote a couple articles for Elite Daily on breakups. And I was like, I think this is something that's needed. So I started the Instagram in 2017 as really just like an outlet for me to talk about something that I was becoming more and more passionate about. And then it's really just evolved from there.
And it's taken off. I'm like looking up your, so we've got 43,500 followers later.
Yeah. Which is very mind blowing to me.
I mean, right? 43,000 followers, y'all. So obviously people are, first of all, need this information and they're turning to you to get it. So how do you get over a breakup? Everyone wants to know.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm trying to think of like an overarching thing to say. I think the overarching theme of how you get over a breakup is you got to feel the pain. Like you have to feel the discomfort. You got to process the pain. You got to process the feelings. But I think it's all about—
Nobody likes to hear that.
No one likes to hear that.
Right? I think the question, I always say this, is like, if you're asking me how to get over your ex, what you're really asking me is how do I avoid feeling the pain?
Yeah.
That's really what you're asking, right? How do I get to the other side quickly? Mm-hmm. And that unfortunately is not the answer.
It's not. And it's actually really interesting. I think that's why, like I hear what you said a lot about like my Instagram being like a breath of fresh air. I don't think people love what they see when they first come to me because I'm telling you to like not be friends with your ex. Like I'm telling you the things that like, and I will also preface this by saying my specialty is not people who are going through divorce with kids. So I will like, that is, I love that that's your expertise because it's totally not mine.
Right. When you talk about cutting ties and going no contact, and listen, I have a lot of people who listen to my podcast who don't have kids. They're also going through a divorce, right? And there's still a lot of the same dynamics at play. but I like that you are making that distinction because it is different, yeah. Right? It is different. And also not always, right? Because just because you have kids with someone doesn't mean that you have to remain entwined with them, right? Like, you can easily parallel parent. I think that we can cut more cords than we think.
That's what I will say. I've learned a lot just from having this and, you know, learning from people who, like you, who are like specializing in like the co-parenting and all that, those spaces. There are a lot more ties than we think. And I think a lot of it comes down to like a certain amount of willingness to be able That's to right. do that. 100%. I think breakups
yes.
require, I mean, not a ton of willingness. I love like the willing to be willing. Like, you just have to be willing to do things a little bit differently than you've been doing, because otherwise I'm sure you get a lot of things of like, it's been X amount of time. Why aren't I feeling any differently? And you have to ask like, are you doing anything differently? Or are you just sitting? Right. There's that whole thing of like, time takes care of everything. Time makes things a little bit easier, but like, action's the thing that changes
us. Right. Right. Because if it's time, but you're still doing the same things over and over again, it's not going to heal
yeah.
your wounds. Time doesn't heal wounds. Like, active participation in a healing process heals your wounds.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you recommend no contact.
Yeah. If you're able to, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what are the reasons? So like, right. Because I know a lot of people who are like, if I'm able to, well, I can't really because, right. Yeah. And again, we're talking not with kids, because you can't go completely no contact with kids, but also you can go a lot more no contact than you think.
Yeah. And it's the same thing. Like, if you work with them,
we make up a lot of excuses for why we can't, when what we mean is it hurts and it's hard.
And that's what I say. Like, I think people think because I talk about no contact so freely that I think it's just this easy thing. Like, oh, it's easy. Just stop talking to them. No, it's really hard. It's a long-term investment. It's not a quick, no contact is not a quick fix.
That's right.
By any means. Because the quick fix is something that would make you feel better. And having contact with your ex does make you feel a little bit better, because it gives you those spikes of dopamine when you see their name on your phone and things like that. So no contact is not, it's not the quick fix. It's the long-term healing. Yeah. And I think the goal of a breakup is to learn how to live your life without that person as your partner, without that person in your life.
So this is sounding a lot, there are a lot of parallels that I'm drawing from this conversation about living with your ex and living without, say, drugs and alcohol.
Right? Yeah.
There is this addiction to the dopamine, which is exactly the same, right? So how are these things in your mind similar?
I think so I did a podcast episode like 6 months ago and I was like, I want to do a podcast on the similarities between getting sober and going through a breakup, thinking there'd be a couple. And the episode just like, there was so many similarities that just kept coming out as I was talking and recording. No contact is a huge one, because, and look, I think there's different schools of thought about sobriety and cutting that stuff out. I think however you can do it, that works for you, great. But what worked for me is I couldn't get sober by having a sip or three of alcohol on a Friday night. That's not how it worked. For me, I had to cut it all out, and I had to learn how to live without it, to the point where my life got really good without it. And then it got to a place where there was really no benefit of me ever having it again.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I mean, we did it in different ways, because we've had this conversation behind the scenes. We both got sober in different ways, but it's the same thing. Like, I now think about alcohol and I'm like, why would I ever poison my body with that? First of all, why would I ever want that feeling ever again? Like, it doesn't compute. And I'm not talking about the initial hit of dopamine and the initial high, because like, sure, right? It's everything else that goes with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, I don't think you give yourself the opportunity to let yourself know that you can do life without your ex if you don't actually give yourself that chance. Because if you keep talking to them, you may never believe you can live without them. Because I think a lot of people, once they're going through a breakup, they don't believe they can live without that person in their life. And you're just never going to be able to know that unless you try it.
That's right. That's right. And sometimes you're forced into that position. I have a friend who, God love her, she was in a very intimate relationship with someone for 10 months and he ghosted her. And it was like really intimate. And she is in so much pain over it, obviously, but she was forced into that. Like she doesn't have a choice now, but to like try find ways to heal, right? But then there are those of us who are sort of forced to make the choice to leave a relationship because we know it's toxic, right? But we keep wanting to like, but if he would just, then it would be fine, right? But then he keeps not. So, mm-hmm. Right. And so when we're the ones who make that decision, even if the decision is made for us or we make it ourselves, right? There's still the process of cutting the thing out.
Yeah. And I understand why people are very afraid to cut that, because mm-hmm. at least for me in the past, when I would get broken up with, I just thought if I kept hanging around and continued to make myself available and just kept being like, I'm here if you ever like change you ever want your mind. Mm. Yeah. That commit, I'm doing commitment in air quotes, that commitment that I kept to like making sure my ex knew I was there and available, in my mind felt like it would make them change their mind.
Right.
And so that's scary. And also you think if you keep contacting them, they're not going to find someone else. And I think a lot of it comes down to that too.
And I think one of the biggest things for women is, what if I never meet anyone else?
Yeah.
What if this is as good as it gets? Listen, I married my ex-husband and spent 10 years in a toxic relationship because I really thought that I couldn't find anything better. And that like, what if I never meet anyone else? And I was like of baby making age and like, you know, what if I never meet anyone else in the next couple of years where I, you know, I've already invested 5 years. So, right. Like, do not recommend. But I think for women, it's this idea of, what if I never meet anyone else?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you haven't had children and you want to have children and you're approaching that age of wanting children, it's very scary, and it makes you feel like you'll take what you can get because you have a certain goal in mind.
Right.
And that's very scary.
It is very scary. And right. Like, in terms of having kids, like for women, this is a real thing. Like, it's real. This is not a pretend thing that we make up. Like, this is real.
Yeah.
And I find it, oh my God, I love my favorite thing I say with so much sarcasm is when I see 50-year-old men on dating sites that are like, I still want to have kids and, you know, get married and have kids someday. And I'm like, fuck you. Because you didn't when you were like 35.
So probably broke someone's heart in the process. And now you're like, oh shit.
Well, now you're like, I'm ready now, you know? And meanwhile, we don't get that. Exactly. You probably didn't have you robbed some woman of that opportunity when she was 35. So like, fuck you. So that's real. And I don't want to diminish it, but I also want to say that I think that there's so much systemic messaging in the idea that a woman without a man, like, what if I'm alone the rest of my life? Well, first of all, what if you are? Right? Like, it's maybe not the ideal, but like, what if you are? Like, does that make you less of a person? Does that make you less of a human? Does that make you less of a woman? Does that, right? Like, I say this somewhat defensively because people always say this to me, but like, what if I'm alone for the rest of my life? I'm like, dude, I'm alone. Like, I'm 50. I don't know what's going to happen in my life, but I would way rather be alone than settle for something that doesn't work for me fully and completely. And I'm okay with that, right? I am more than okay with that. That is an active choice on my part.
I think it's a really important place to get to where you are okay with that, because I know for me, I spent so much of my life not okay, not in a relationship.
Right.
Where when I was in relationships, not only would I put up with literally whatever, like I would put up with anything because I just wanted to be in a relationship, versus now being in a relationship where I know I'm fine on my own. Mm-hmm. I'm so much better able to stick up for myself. Like I have such an independence in my life from my husband. There's just so many benefits, even if you're not going to be on your own, there's so much benefit in finding contentment in that place.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have an interdependency in your relationship as opposed to a codependency,
yes.
Right? Because if I'm not okay on my own, I am deriving my life force and my sense of self from another person, which, by the way, is not an attractive quality in a relationship and drives the other person away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's how that works.
And it's so stressful. It's so stressful.
So, I mean, there's so much pressure on the other person, right?
There's so much pressure if they come home from work and they're in a bad mood, and then your night's ruined because they're not
right
diving, you know, to see you and wanting. It's just, it's a very stressful for both parties in a relationship to be like that.
You guys, warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you're going to want to fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. And I know that's really important to you guys right now. You're going through a hard time. You're in emotional upheaval, maybe some chaos, really good, healthy, nutritious meals in 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, they're so good. You've got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. And you'll always have new flavors to explore. Treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon. Ugh, so good, you guys. So head to factormeals.com/DSG50 and use code DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. So the code is DSG50 at factormeals.com/DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Hey, are any of you guys going through menopause or perimenopause? Ugh, you know how you can't find any comfort in your body? Or even if you're done, if you're on the other side like I am, but you still kind of feel like a wet sock on a busy highway? You've got to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. So here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body, wait for it, adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormone changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So it's not just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of any hormonal imbalance can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopausal and perimenopausal symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over and over again in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DSG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DSG for 15% off today. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor today.
For over a decade, I've helped divorcing moms put their children at the center of all of their decisions. So whenever I hear about moms struggling to co-parent with an ex that abuses alcohol, I have one system in mind, SoberLink. SoberLink's alcohol monitoring system is the most convenient, reliable, and reasonable way for a parent to provide evidence that they're not drinking during parenting time. SoberLink's real-time alerts, facial recognition, and tamper detection ensure the integrity of each test, so you can be confident your kids are with a sober parent. With SoberLink, judges rest assured that your child is safe, attorneys get court-admissible evidence of sobriety, and both parents have empowerment and peace of mind. Trust the experts in remote alcohol monitoring technology to keep you informed and your kids safe and secure. To download the resource I created with SoberLink, Checklist for High Conflict Divorces, visit soberlink.com/DSG. And now back to our show. So, all right. So let's talk about, I mean, we touched on this a little bit, but I'm wondering if you have like steps or more specific sort of actions that people can to harness the pain of their breakup.
Yeah.
For their advantage, for their healing.
The first one is like the first thing I talk about in any of my courses is ask for help. Call your friends. I think that's such, especially if you're someone that's not great at doing that. If you feel like a burden of asking for help, this is the time to like do something different. At least tell your friends what's happening, what you're struggling with. Ask for company. Yes. Ask for what you need at the time.
Right. If you don't want to spend 7 days a week on the floor curled up in a ball alone crying, like sometimes that's a really healthy and good thing to do, but like maybe not all the time.
Yes.
Right.
And I think what people forget when it comes to asking for help from friends after a breakup is you're allowed to tell your friends exactly how you would like to be helped. Mm. You don't just have to accept whatever they'll give you. If what they're doing is not helping, sometimes it's hurt. Sometimes people are going to help you the way that they would like to be helped. So it's going to be different for everyone. You're allowed to say, I don't want you to trash talk my ex.
Trash him.
I don't want you to do that.
I feel like nobody really wants that. No. But like, right? Like people do that all the time. People are like, oh my God, he was such an asshole. I hated him. Every time he went out, blah, blah, blah. Like, because God forbid this turns, first of all, God forbid it turns around and you get back together. Like, ew, that's awkward. But also it's really not helpful, right?
I will never forget the day after I went through that breakup, my girlfriend was trying to help, bless her heart, totally trying to help, had great intentions. And she was like, let's list everything you didn't like about him. And I couldn't think of a single thing. And I just started bawling because I was like, I'm just not in that place. So you're allowed to tell people how you would like to be helped. I think that's huge. I think the second way you can harness that pain is start some rituals for yourself, whether that's journaling in the morning, going for a walk every morning, whenever that works, going for a walk every day, like cooking for yourself,
move
your body. Right? I think just like
harness, get exercise, get sunlight. Right. The kind of the basics of self-care, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a great way to harness that. And then I think, and this is going to come at very different times for very different people, but hire a therapist, like start working on what this breakup is triggering for you. Because I think a lot of the time breakups are going to trigger stuff from our childhood. And so I've always used breakups as a time to go see my therapist and really talk about like, what is this bringing up for me? So that way, because then I was able to start realizing what that was bringing up. Then I could examine my beliefs about it. And I think it just helped me. It helped me get a better grasp on what this breakup was doing to me. And it helped. It just gave me a little bit more power.
And I think it's really important to like, there's a difference between, look, I think asking for help from your friends, whether that's like get me out of the house and take me for a hike, or get me out of the house, take me out to dinner, or come and sit with me and drink tea with me and let me cry. That's one thing, but you also need to be doing the therapy work to be uncovering all that other stuff. Otherwise you put so much pressure on your friendships and you're using them as your therapists, and they're not qualified for that. They're not getting paid for that. Right. And it's a different relationship. And then you can, if you have someone, a professional to talk to, whether it's a coach or a therapist, you can then use your friendships appropriately.
That's such a good point. Because that's a question I get a lot, is I feel like I'm a burden on my friends, and I like to tell
you, maybe
you may be. Yeah. Especially mm-hmm. like if you're only going to one friend, dumping everything on them, if you're expecting them to be your therapist, if they're giving you advice and you're not taking it, and then you're just keep doing it and keep venting about it. I've had to have conversations with friends where I'll say, like, I've expressed to you how I feel about it. You can't keep venting to me if you're not going to do anything about it.
That's right. Good for you. I mean, those are boundaries, right?
Yeah.
And also, by the way, I hate to say this, this is a little harsh, but I'm going to say it anyway. Maybe that's what was wrong in your relationship too.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, right? Yeah, I think our friendships are a mirror for our, I mean, anyway, we're relating to other people is like how we're acting in relationships. And I think that could very well be the case. And I think too, especially those that are coming out of relationships where they probably neglected a lot of their friendships during the relationship, that's a whole other thing too.
That's right. That's right. You may have some amends to make in your friendship. If you're the kind of person who's like super codependent in relationships, that very often means that you have like given up all your friends to spend more time with your partner. And your friends may be a little pissed about that.
Yeah.
Right. So definitely acknowledging that is, I think, really important. So, okay. So seeking help, right? Talking to your friends, getting professional help, anything else, getting out, getting.
I also think breakups give us, I think they give us some guts to do things mm-hmm. we normally wouldn't do. So if there's like a class you've been wanting to try, if there's a trip you've been wanting to go on, I think a lot of this is like re-getting to know ourselves.
Yeah.
And that requires trying things. So if there's a trip you've been wanting to go on, like book that, like do these things for yourself that are a little bit outside of your comfort zone, that will give you something to look forward to. I think that's hugely yeah. important.
That's right. It's a little forward thinking, yeah. a little forward thinking and planning. Right. And don't be afraid to take that trip alone. Right. Like, I remember when I first got divorced, the first thing I did was I booked myself a trip to Hawaii alone, because I had never, and I was like, this is important. I've never traveled alone. I've always been so codependent. Like, I need this for myself. And, you know, it wasn't all like me running on a beach, like happy. And I remember I took this hike. I rented a car by myself. I drove to the top of the island, to a waterfall and like a park, and like went hiking through the park all by myself. And then was like, I'm going to swim out to that waterfall. Like, it was in this pool and it was freezing cold. And I was like, I am going to do it. I'm going to do it. There was no one to take a picture of it. There's no photographic evidence of it. Right. But I was like, I'm going to go swim out to that waterfall and get underneath it, which, by the way, like, I almost drowned.
Yeah. Waterfalls. I was like, I hope there was someone really around.
There were people, but right. And then there were nights where I sat in my hotel room, like, fuck, I don't want to go out to dinner again and be the only single person sitting at the luau. That's really annoying. Right. So it's not all easy and it's not all fabulous, but I think it was incredibly healing. And by the way, you don't need to go to Hawaii. You can go somewhere.
Go to a hotel by your house.
I mean, go to a hotel, but yeah, just like whatever. Right. But I do think that, yeah, I love the idea of like trying, like taking a class, just doing something, getting out among the people, right? Because like I said, sitting at home and like crying on the floor every night is maybe not, like, again, a couple nights a week, maybe.
Yeah, there needs to be that like balance of allowing yourself to just sink it, melt into the feelings. And then there has to be the balance of getting out there. Another thing I did a lot was I actually did a lot of volunteer work, which was great for me on so many different levels because it made me feel, it like made me feel more confident, more like esteemable and more worthy, which I dealt with a lot of feelings of not like very feeling very unworthy. So I joined like a committee for a, you know, charity auction. So like things like that. And I met really cool people. It gave me things to do. So I think that was really helpful for me as well.
Yeah. Doing esteemable acts is one of the ways that we build self-esteem. And when our self-esteem is in the shitter after a breakup, that's definitely something. Being of service to others just gets you outside of yourself.
I remember the first time I heard someone say that esteemable acts build self-esteem, and I feel like my mind blew into 1,000 pieces.
Hilarious. All right, let's talk about social media. Can we talk about social media?
Yes. Yeah.
So I always tell my people, tell me if you agree with this or disagree with this, but I always tell them unfriend everybody, just unfriend their mothers, their fathers, their aunts, their them. And if these are people that you're like, oh my God, but they're going to be like upset about it, tell them first.
Yeah.
That this is for your own healing, right? Like what? Stop checking their story.
Yeah.
All the time. Right.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me on that?
I agree 100%. And I think it's interesting. Just more recently, I've been getting a lot of questions about your ex's family and all of those things. There may be some people from your ex's life that you'd like to maintain relationships with, and that's okay. But I think there's a lot to be said about cutting off contact in the short term to preserve the long term.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you can go to the friends, you know, there was like my ex had friends with wives that I loved. And like, I was like, I'd love to be able to stay friends with you, but hey, in the beginning, I gotta be like tunnel vision. I can't do it in the beginning.
Right.
But like you said, the unfollow button's not permanent. You can always go back.
Right. There are three options for you. Right. There's unfollow, there's unfriend, and then there's block.
Yeah.
Right. And it really, like all of them are undoable, by the way. But, and I always say, like, people are like, oh, I don't want them to be offended. And I'm like, then tell them.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to say to someone, listen, I am so sorry, but I need to take a break from our social media friendship because I can't risk seeing posts that are gonna like set me back to zero. You're not doing anything wrong. I don't want you to feel like you have to like alter your social media life for me. So I'm just gonna take a step back, and I want to continue the friendship, but I just need a little space and a little time so to do my own healing so that I can write, like you said, like this is the long term.
Yeah.
And be direct and honest about it.
Exactly. And I would honestly assume that like 99.9% of people would be completely understanding, because we always have to remember that everyone's been through a breakup. Everyone knows these feelings. They know that if, you know, and I've had people who I've been connected to their exes and they've stopped following me or whatever that looks like. And it's like, I get it. I totally get it. It's hard. If if I'm out at a party and I've take an Instagram story of your ex, like, I know that's going to hurt you. So I don't take offense to that. I think there's like this big thing of thinking it's being the bigger person to stay in those things. Cause they'll say, oh, that's so immature. And I'm like, I think it's far more immature to stay in a situation that's hurtful to you.
That's right. That's right. Self-care is not immature. Self-care is mature. And that is self-care.
Yeah.
Right. Setting boundaries for yourself, saying, I know this is going to hurt me, so I am going to take a break. That is self-care.
Yeah.
Right. And it's far more mature. Far more mature. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Or they'll say it's harsh to cut off. I'm like, it's so much harsher to you if you stay in that. So.
Well, and also it's not harsh if you tell them. Not harsh at all if you tell them, and if you say it in a nice way that keeps it about you and not about them, right? So if you're like, you're always posting stuff about my ex, and you like, then like, sure, that they're going to be like, what the fuck? But if you're, if you say, if you keep it in I language and keep it about yourself and say like, I'm protecting myself and you're doing nothing wrong, I need to take this step for my own growth and healing. Like, what are they going to say? Like, what? Right.
Yeah. And along the same lines of
that's
that,
harsh.
And I think like one more point to add to that, I think sometimes people think, well, what if they want to get back together? Or what if this ruins my chance of getting back together with them? And I tell people like, if you do something for your own growth, your own healing to protect yourself and take care of yourself, and that's the deal breaker for a potential reconciliation, that's not your person.
That is not your person.
That's not your person.
Say it again for everyone in the back. Yeah. That is not your person.
Yeah. If you say, I had to block you because it's too painful for me to stay in any kind of contact with you. And they're like, well, I was going to get back together, but now that you said that, no, it's like, okay, that's not your person. Your person should want you to protect yourself and take care of yourself.
Your person will say, I totally get it. I totally get it. I'm here if you ever change your mind or it feels like whatever, right? Like that's your person.
Yeah.
Ugh. No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
All right. Speaking of getting back together.
Yeah.
When or is this ever a good idea?
Yeah. And this is always a very funny question for me, because I'm married to my ex. And so I'm always like, all right, let's.
So there you
how
go.
How do we address this without being a total hypocrite? So I think there are certain conditions and certain circumstances. I recorded an episode about me getting back together with my ex, and literally there was like 15 minutes of disclaimers before I even jumped into the story. But I think it's possible. I will never say like never get back together with an ex, because that's just not, I don't know. That's not realistic. I think a lot of it depends on why you broke up in the first place. I think that's like,
right.
That's a big thing.
Yep.
In my instance, we broke up because at that time he could not see himself getting married or having kids. So it wasn't, he didn't hurt. I mean, it hurt me, but he didn't intentionally really hurt me. He just said the truth. He just told his truth.
Right.
And sure. It just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. I think time in this case is actually very important. Like, I don't think if you break up and 3 weeks later you want to change your mind, it's a good idea because nothing's changed.
Right. Right.
Nothing mm-hmm. can really change in 3 weeks.
Let's hold that point for a minute, because this is something I hear all the time, all the time is I told him I want a divorce and now he's reading all the books and he's being so great. He's totally changed.
Yeah.
Has he really totally changed, Kendra?
No, it's like, even if I were to enroll in twice a week therapy and like, I wouldn't change in 3 weeks. It's just no. Like, that's just not how, even like biologically, like it takes a while for like new habits to form and like new neural pathways and all of those things.
Right.
So time is big. So you have to consider, why did you break up? And then has enough time passed where that could change, where those circumstances could change? Because otherwise you're going to be in the, and you probably see this a lot, you're going to end up the same. You're going to end up in the exact same situation, maybe like That's 6 months later, a year later.
Or three weeks later.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because often it's a tactic, right? It's yeah. often a tactic to like maintain power and control. And so they're like, I've changed. I'm doing the work. And then you're like, okay, I'll get back together with you. And what I always say is give them enough time to show you,
yeah.
not tell you, but show you, which is usually 3 to 6 months, and then get back together with them.
Yeah.
Don't get back together when they say they're doing it, when they're not really doing it. Stand back and wait.
That's another big thing that I tell people is it's not a decision to rush. It's a decision to, yeah. it's not a decision to make impulsively. So, and it's like the exact same thing. If you tell them, thank you for saying all that, I'm going to need some time to process this. I need some time to think about it. And they say, now or never. Not your person. Again, it's like, it's just like another litmus test of like,
not your person and not doing the work that they're telling you that they're doing. Obviously.
Yeah.
Right. If you say, okay, thank you. I'm really happy that that's the case. I still want to like maintain the separation for like 3 months. Cause I really like, let's see how this lands for both of us. Someone who's really doing the work will be like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. I'm here to prove to you that I'm committed, right? Not your person will be like, 3 months, 6 months, what the fuck? Like, that's yeah. bullshit, right? Okay.
Yeah. And then I think the last thing too is like what frame of mind are you coming from to get back together? Are you coming from the frame of mind of I'm lonely, I miss them? Or are you coming from a place of I actually feel like I'm starting to feel like, okay, this person adds so much value to my already good life. It's like, you shouldn't make the decision back if like you're trying to get back, like you're missing puzzle piece or like, you know, something like that. It's really right. should be like a value add decision.
That's right. That's right. And what if you feel like this is your soulmate? Like you have this connection, this like soul connection.
It's so funny. I don't know how you feel about the term soulmate. It's like so not my, it's just so not my thing.
So not my thing. It's either. So, not- I think it's bullshit.
But- well, it's honestly, I think soulmate is used primarily for people that like want to get back together with an ex or to justify super shitty behavior.
Yes. Or to explain a trauma bond.
Yes, that, yeah.
Right? Like, so it's like, I feel like I can't breathe when I'm apart from him. And when we're together, it makes everything right. Like the world, I used to like the world turns on its axis, right? It's like back on its axis and like, right. And it's like, okay, that's fucking codependency. that is a trauma bond. That is like, if you can't breathe without someone, girl, you need to spend a lot of time learning how to breathe without anyone.
Yeah. That's a, yes, that's a, right? That should be a snippet that should be used a lot. That You're one should right. be saved. And the other reason I don't like the word soulmate is it makes it sound like you only have one.
There's only one.
There's only one. It's like, no, I don't care. Whenever you break up with someone, that they don't suck away your chance at finding love. Like, that's just not, that's I don't know. To me, that's just like not how that works. So yeah. So I'm just not a big fan of that, of like soulmate. And I think if you feel like you said, you have to have that person. I can't breathe without them. I can't picture my life without them. That's probably a really good indication that you need to be by yourself.
Yeah. That's an addiction.
Yeah.
Back to the sobriety conversation. That's addiction. That's not healthy. That's not a healthy relationship. That's addiction.
Yeah.
Which is basically the core premise of a trauma bond, is the addiction to the cycle of withholding and giving of love.
Right? Yeah.
So it's addiction.
Yep.
Unfortunately, your brain is addicted to the cycle and the dopamine hits that you get after it's withheld.
Yeah. And that's why people get stuck in the cycle of breaking up and getting back together all over and over again.
That's right.
It's like the feeling when they call and you get back together and you have your makeup sex and like all that stuff. It's like it's the best feeling ever. And then you crash and it's the worst feeling ever. Like, your relationship should not be constant up and down. Like, yeah, there's going to be up and downs, but like, it should look a little straighter of a line.
That's right. That's right. If it's extreme highs and extreme lows. I had my ex-boyfriend that I had a serious trauma bond with. He used to say, he's like, it's the most exhilarating, highest highs of any relationship I've ever had. And then like the most awful, awful lows. And it really was. And if you have that kind of peaks and valleys, like not okay, not healthy.
Yeah.
Super bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Breakup bestie. What are some parting words for our listeners on getting through breakups?
I always like to remind people that the pain is going to pass. It's like pain can never exist forever in its current form. Mm. That's always like what I like to end things with. And I always like to remind people, and I will also acknowledge this by saying, like, if this next phrase makes you feel like you want to throw up, that's fine. Or roll your eyes, that's also fine. But I just believe that every breakup at some point ends up being like the hugest, like the biggest blessing in one form or another, whether it's something you discover about yourself, a new person that you get to meet. Like, I've just seen it all. People change careers after a breakup and they finally go to their dream career. They finally move to the place that they've always wanted to move. It's like, there are just so many amazing things that can come out of this. And yes, it takes some time and it takes some action to heal and be able to see those things, but it's there.
Amen, sister. I love it. Where can people find you?
Best way to find me would be on Instagram. It's at your breakup bestie. And then at my website's breakupbestie.com. You can find my podcast on there. My courses, pretty much anything you need to know about me is on that website.
Kendra, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. I love talking to you always. And I am so glad that we're in this space and in the sphere together.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in and leave me a review. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at The Divorce Survival Guide. I'll see you next time. And until then, remember, you, my love, deserve to be happy.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Bree.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Bree, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. model so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.